Kick us off, man.
So we've talked about how at conversion, you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it sort of grows as you grow in your faith, I guess to say. But I've been wrestling with, like, Elijah. He asked, hey, I want a double portion. And, you know, it's like, well, if you can see me when I'm picking up, then you got it. Yours. And it is. And he's doing amazing things. And I think, why is that? Like, how is that different than you and I?
Elisha different than you and I? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Because he seems to have gotten a double portion.
Yeah. I mean, even as well, I guess, same with my bones. You know, why wouldn't they through the day God? It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I just read about that this week. So why the difference between Elisha and us? Well, I would say there is no difference. There shouldn't be a difference. Difference lies on our end most of the time. Elisha wanted a double portion. Sometimes we don't even want the single portion. That's the question I asked last week. Like, we have the Spirit, does the Spirit have us? Man, that's tough. I mean, that's a tough thing. Like, that's something I wrestle with in life personally. Like, how many times do I yield to the Spirit? You know? And so I've tried to make it a point. Like, every morning for sure, like, God, help me to be open to the Spirit today. Help me to be led by the Spirit today. But maybe I should change that prayer. Maybe I should be more bold like Elisha and be like, give me a double portion today. Yeah, I don't think there's a difference. Like, I think that we can't experience that. But unfortunately, a lot of times we don't. Good question, though. Anybody else?
I got a question.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm sure I'm not unique in this, but one of the things that I struggle with, I think it is called imposter syndrome.
It's called what?
Imposter
syndrome. Okay.
So when you're seeking out and trying to find out what your spiritual gifts are, how do you recognize something that is actually a spiritual gift versus something that you just want to be a spiritual gift?
That's a great question. I was hoping somebody would ask that because I was actually praying about that before I walked up here. So in a sense, the question at its basic element is, how do we know our spiritual gift? Like, how do we know we're not just hoping it's something and doing that instead? I would say two things: fruit and fulfillment. If we see fruit, and when I say fruit, I mean, like, if we are pointing people to the presence of God and we are fully participating in His purpose for creation, and if we experience some fulfillment as we're doing that, then we're operating in our gift. But if we are doing something that may be good, right? It may be something that we perceive as a need within the church, and maybe it's a legitimate need, but we're just stepping in because, hey, if I don't do it, nobody else will. And we're doing it, but we might see a little bit of fruit, right? But in the end of the day, are we really fulfilled? Like, do we walk away from that feeling like, man, I accomplished my purpose? Or are we like, I just felt like, and I'll be honest with you, this is a real life example. When I was doing a youth group, almost every Sunday night, I would walk out of this place, and I told several people, like, I would walk out of here and I would want to run my head through a wall. Because it was not fulfilling. It was frustrating. It was a need that the church had, but I'm telling you, that is not my giftedness. Like, being a youth pastor is not my thing. Thank God for Alex and Brooke, because I don't think Alex has ever felt like running his head through a wall. But that's a real life example. Like, do I leave here frustrated some Sundays? Yes, but by and large, like, I feel way more fulfillment than frustration. Like, being a pastor is a challenging thing. But I can say honestly, like, if I wasn't doing it, I would be miserable. I've experienced that. So there's a fulfillment about it, and I think I see fruit from it. So we evaluate ourselves, right? There's nothing wrong with like, okay, I'm going to try this and see if that's what it is. But if you're frustrated and you're not feeling fulfillment and you're not seeing an inexplainable amount of fruit, that's what I would say. Right? Because we could all do things and experience fruit. But if it's an inexplainable amount of fruit, then you know that has to be God. That's the point of the gift. Like, the gift points people to God. And if you're accomplishing it in your own power, then that's not the Spirit at work in you. I would say here at Hannah's Creek, like, people ask, well, you got a lot of people showing up there. Yeah, but I don't know how. I wish I did. I wish I could put a formula to it. But I honestly can tell you, I don't know how, and I don't know what I've done. And because I've read a bunch of like church growth books, but we haven't done anything like that here. So it has to be a work of God. I'm just being honest with you. Like, I'm not doing anything special.
Follow up question.
Yeah.
So even though you realize that it may not be a spiritual gift, if you see the church has a need for a service opportunity, do you fulfill that need? And if you do, how do you show the rest of the community that that's still a need and it's not actually fulfilled, just being covered?
Okay, so the follow-up question is, if you see a need and you're not sure if it's your gift or not, and you step up and fulfill it, when should you stop? Is that the question?
Yeah.
You should stop when you realize it's not your gift. When you realize there's no fruit, there's no like fruit that is beyond comprehension, and there's no fulfillment, you should stop. Because I think, like I said it earlier, I'm pretty sure God gives us everything we need for this community to be effective. And if you realize that you're not a trumpet, but you keep playing the trumpet, the person that does play the trumpet doesn't get the opportunity. Does that make sense? There's always going to be some give and take. There's always going to be like, oh man, I thought this was my gift, but I messed up. It's okay. That happens, right? But when we realize, oh, that's not my gift, then we got to take a step back and let somebody else step up or let God move in a different way. That's okay. There is some experimentation with this. There's all kinds of spiritual gift assessments, right? You can take a spiritual gift assessment and they're going to always link it back to that list. And that maybe points you in the right direction, but there's always going to be some experimentation where, hey, I'm going to see if that's it. And you realize through being exposed, man, I was wrong. That's okay. That's completely fine. Because the beauty of the way God works is that even when we mess it up, he still works through it. That's what's powerful about it. And so I think we don't need to be so hesitant and be like, well, I'm not sure, so I'm not going to do anything. Well, God can work even through our messing it up. Two good questions. Anybody else? Burning questions about gifts of the Spirit.
My burning question is going to sound really selfish. Where are the healers and the miracles?
Well, there's a book called Why Am I Surprised by the Spirit, Moving of the Spirit. Great book to read that addresses some of that. But I think at the root of the question lies a misunderstanding of the text. Like, we read through Acts and we read about all these miracles and we're like, man, they were just miracles left and right, walking down the street, boom, 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 right? But the time period of the book of Acts, when you look at how long of a time that actually is, those spectacular things didn't happen near as often as we think they did. Like, we can sit down and read this in one sitting and be like, wow, But the way it actually played out over time, those spectacular things, there was a lot of time in between them. All right. And so part of that impacts our perception of how often we should experience these kind of things. Because in our minds, we think we should experience some crazy miracle like every day of our lives when we read through Acts. When in reality, that wasn't even the experience in Acts. It wasn't an everyday occurrence. And in some instances, it wasn't even an every year occurrence. And so we have to keep that in mind. Because I'll be transparent. Like those gifts that have the star next to them that are question marks, like do they exist still, do they not exist? I think they do. I think God gives his gifts without reproach. I don't think he's withdrawn certain gifts from the church. I think we still experience like gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy. But our understanding of those gifts aren't exactly the same as the way they're described in the New Testament. And when we have that kind of skewed view, I think it impacts how we see God sometimes in a negative way. So, I know that's probably not the answer that you hope to hear. I guess the light is, does God still heal? Yes. But does that happen as often as we perceive it to happen? Sometimes no. Sometimes no. All right, I've got a couple texts coming in. Is it possible? This is a great question. Is it possible for our gifts to be different when we are in different seasons, not just the same all the time? That's a great question. So the traditional response to this would be that we are given one specific gift or a few specific gifts, and we get those gifts and they never change. That would be the traditional response. But I would say I don't know that that's really the case. I do think our gifts change depending on what seasons we're in or what needs are present within the church. I do think they can change. So thank you for that question. Another question. Looking at 1 Corinthians 12:11 and the phrase, just as he determines, have you seen in your own life your gifts change over time or God give you different giftedness in different seasons? I interpret that phrase like the New King James Version, as he wills. So let's see. Have you seen in your own life your gifts change over time or God give you different giftedness in different seasons? So kind of related to the last question, actually. I would say yes. I think there's been a predominant gift, a gift of teaching that I've noticed for a long time. But there have been other gifts that I've experienced at different seasons in my life. A great example, I guess, of that would be my work in chaplaincy. Going into chaplaincy, I had no experience in chaplaincy, but I experienced some incredible situations that I did not feel that I was really prepared for, but in the moment, I felt like God gave me the ability to address the needs that were present. And so I think that's a great example of during that season of my life when I was working in chaplaincy, I definitely got certain gifts that enabled me to help people experience the presence of God in some of their most painful moments of their life. And then the transition when I moved out of hospital chaplaincy and into mental health chaplaincy, even different. I experienced another set of gifts that I never dreamed. Like I had no formal training in mental health, but there were times that I could be very effective. And I firmly believe it was because God gave me a gift that was needed at that moment. So yeah, I think in my own life, I've seen some things change, but I've seen one gift that's kind of stayed fairly steady. It's a good question. So the text is working out well. All right, any other questions? burning desires about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm shocked on nobody asking about the gift of tongues. I was expecting that question. Nope. All right. So then next week, the topic will be walking in the Spirit. And what does that mean? What does it look like? So you lost your opportunity to ask about those crazy gifts. All right. Let's stand. We'll say the prayer of the Holy Spirit together. Or if you have questions about those things you don't want to ask out loud, you don't want to answer out loud, just see me afterwards and I'd be more than happy to discuss what I feel is a good response. All right, let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by your same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.